Good morning. Listen, we're going to talk on parenting, on being a mom and a dad. And this week, next week, we're talking about what it is to be parents, godly parents. And I'm asking you, please, tune in. Don't miss this today. Don't miss this next week. Folks, this is huge. You will be challenged. I'm going to ask you what you're going to rearrange. How are you going to change different things that are in your home? This week and next week. And I'm telling you what, one of the greatest privileges on earth is to be a dad and to be a mom and to be a parent and to recognize what it is that God has given you a gift and has rewarded you with His heritage, with His property, His gift, that which is a child. And that when we recognize and understand the responsibility that it takes to really be a mom and a dad, God way, it's huge. Listen, if you're a parent, or you are a parent of older kids who are now on and being parents, or you're a parent of a younger child, whatever the case, you know. Your baby, there are babies and then there's your babies. There's children and then there's your children. When you hold that child for the very first time, it's like there is nothing like it in the world. To hold your child for the very first time. And then it strikes you like, what do I do with this thing? I mean, this is like, you can read all the books you want to read, right? You can read Baby 101 or How to Feed or this, and then that child shows up and you're holding this baby. You're like, now what? I mean, no one gave me a manual for this. It's crazy. I mean, I got instructions to put a bicycle together, but nothing came into this. This is nuts. And it's powerful, folks, when you recognize that there's a gift that has come from God. And you recognize how to value and honor that gift and to raise up that child and to teach that child. Listen, that being a parent, folks, could be at times the greatest of joys and at times the greatest of sorrows. You rejoice when they rejoice and you weep when they weep. And when you understand as a parent my responsibility, God, you've put them in my care, and it is my responsibility to get them life ready. It is my responsibility to prepare them for life. It's my responsibility as a parent to get them life ready. That when they leave your home, when they're ready to go do life, they are life ready. They've gone through the ups and downs. They've gone through different things. And they are ready for life, folks. And then you begin to recognize that, man, sometimes when Junior hits that ball for the very first time, there's nothing like it. Or when he strikes out for the first time and he's crying, your heart is breaking with him. Right from the very smallest of things to the biggest hurts. Folks, being a parent is going to bring you great joy and great laughter. Being a parent is going to break your heart. There are great seasons, there are very difficult seasons with kids. When we get to recognize how real it is to be a parent, what a privilege it is to be a mom and to be a dad, and we are talking in a family series, you got to talk about what it is to be a parent. If we're family, we're talking about being a parent God way. What did God say? What example was set for me, gang? I had an example in my parents. They rose three boys, Todd, Sean, and Brent. We're all about a year and a half apart. You imagine, we are all boy, and we fought, and we scratched, and we punched, and we put holes in the wall, and we wrestled, and, you know, we hid the hole in the wall for a while. That was fun. Oh, he sees the hole. He found that one anyways. But we were all boy, and we put our parents through it, folks. I mean, they had some great times, and we put them through some very difficult times. We put them through different accidents. When your child's laying in a hospital room, that's hard. When one of your child gets arrested, or two of your children get arrested, it was his fault. This is my older brother's fault. It was a minor charge, no worries. But it was still his fault. So I was the younger brother following my older brother, his example. Followed him into a territory we shouldn't have been in. Gang, I tell you what, when you understand as a parent what it takes to parent through the highs and through the lows. And you understand what it takes to be that example for your kids. To be that godly example where we have the absolute perfect example of a father whose love for us cannot change. It cannot get weaker. It remains the constant, the same, over and over. A love that is forever. And that is the love that we are to have for our kids. And you have, listen, you have one before you that walked in a way that they were on their face and they were on their knees and they were crying out to God that he would become so real to me. Because there was a day that my grandmother, my Nana, looked at me and said, that boy right there is called to be on the front line. And there's times in my life, I'm sure my parents are going, he is so far from the front line. And today, you have one brother who's a worship leader. You got me being a pastor, and you've got another brother who has spent hundreds of thousands, folks, hundreds of thousands. He is able to make finances. He's made he has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the work of God's ministry, advancing light over darkness throughout the world. And I tell you what, when you recognize what it is to be a parent, there is great reward. But there's a lot of pain at times that goes with it. You see, when your children hurt, you're attached to your children. And you hurt. Folks, there's moments as a father, there's moments as a mom that you look at your children. And sometimes you just break. You look at your children and you're like, listen, I had a moment Friday night. Friday night, I'm in police uniform. I have to work at 8 o'clock. I call my sergeant and say, listen, I'm going to be a little late. My daughter has a dance recital and I got to go see her dance. So I'm in the back of the high school auditorium and it is packed. So I am in the back. I don't want to take somebody's seat. I know I got to sneak out. I'm in the back. And the first set goes. And then the second dancers come out. And then I know she's in the third dance. And she comes out. I'm in the back. And all of a sudden I see Olivia come out in this orange dress. And I'm looking at her. And I'm like the farthest back you could see. And I tell you what, I broke. Thank God they see this cop in the back. Thank God it was dark. I mean, the big bad cop is bawling back. I mean, I look at my daughter, folks, and it was one of those moments. She is 12. She'll be 13 in just a couple weeks. And it's one of the moments that I look at her, and she's in this dress, and she is just a young woman. And I'm thinking, oh, God, look at what you've given me. Look at how valuable she is, and look at how precious she is. God, and this was my heart. I began to ask God, help me to get it right. God, help me to get it right with her. She is so valuable. And God, she is such a gift from you. God, she deserves my very best. God, she deserves everything about me, God. That Father, right here tonight, God, that I know, God, I won't be perfect. But God, help me to get it right with my princess. Help me to get it right with my baby. And folks, just two nights ago, I broke. And I'm like, oh God, I see her. She's growing up. And every day is passing. And every day is passing. And every day, in a few years, she won't be there. And less than a few years, Carter, 15, going to be out of the house. Gang, time is short. And I had a moment Friday night. I'm looking at Olivia going, God, in the years that are left, I got to get it right with her. God, I got to understand who she is. I got to understand the gifts that you've given her. God, I got to do everything I can to show her and be dad to her and show her, God, the type of man that she should marry. And God, that's on me to be that example, to be that man that she would have a desire to marry one day. God, I'm not going to be perfect. And I'm just in the back and I'm losing it. Going, that's my girl, and she deserves my very best. Because God has given her to me as a gift. God, help me to get it right. So, folks, this is parenting. This is being a mom and a dad. And if you're a single mom, if you're a single dad, next week, please don't miss us, next week, we're going to talk about what it is to be the role of a dad and the role of a mom as a married couple, and then turn it around. If you are a single parent, we as a church, we understand that heartache. We understand what it takes. We understand that you have your kids a limited time. That must be just devastating. Devastating. I'm going to encourage you next week in that. But folks, when you understand what God says about the gifts that you've given you, You understand what it takes to be a parent. Parenting, folks, is not for the weak. Parenting, folks, is not this shoddy little thing that sometimes we do. Parenting is a priority. When you recognize that God expects a priority from you, God expects your kids to be the priority because He has given them to you as a gift. Wouldn't it be awful that you give somebody this most valuable, most precious gift, and they don't count it as the gift that you meant it to be? They don't treat it as valuable. They don't treat it as a special gift. They don't treat it as it came from your heart. Folks, when God gave you children, He gave them to you as a gift. Most precious, most valuable gift. And He expects us as Christian parents to honor that gift, to value that gift, and to raise that gift, and to train that gift. And look, if you turn to Psalm 127, please. Psalm 127. You're going to see this morning, Psalm 127, verse 3 says this: Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. Children are a gift, or the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Verse 4, look at this. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. This is where this comes from. Like arrows in hand of a warrior. Look what God says about the gift. I have given you a gift in Carter, Olivia, and Ethan. Sean, these are the gifts that I've given you, and they are of a great reward. And they are like arrows. Those three, Carter, Olivia, and Ethan, are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Sean, you and Renee, warrior up. You guys are warriors. They are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. When you begin to understand and recognize that, God, I only have a short amount of time. God, they are seasonal. They are here today, and they could be gone, we would say tomorrow, but I'm telling you what, folks, it goes so fast and so quick. The deal is this: when you understand that you are parenting, when you understand how serious God takes this, you begin to realize there's no do-overs. I don't get a second take at this thing. I don't get a second chance at being their parent. When they are old and they are out, that is it. And there are things in our lives that we realize, I don't get it, because their age keeps going and time just keeps going and going and going. And as the time passes, they are getting older and older and older, and you never get 10 back. You never get 15 back. You never get 16 when they're driving. You might want to get that time back, but you don't get that time back. You never get 18. These are times in our lives that we never get to do it again. I don't get a chance to retrain. Folks, I can't retrain a 21-year-old. That time has passed. When we begin to understand, this is a one-shot deal, folks. We got one chance to raise our kids. We're going to see what God says. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And I put some time into this and time, and I thought and I prayed and I thought and I prayed. And I said, okay, now if a warrior is going to battle, what happens? If my children are like arrows in my hand and I'm going to battle, folks, we are at battle and we're in a war. And if my kids are like arrows, what do I need to do with them? As a warrior, what do I do when I prepare for battle? Number one is this: you got to understand what it takes, the purpose. When somebody's setting out for war, they want to know the end game. All right, I'm going to war. What does victory look like? If I win this war, what does that look like? What is the end game to this battle? What is the end game to me being a parent? What does it look like if I gain victory as a parent when I'm raising my kids? And Renee and I come to agreement. We're walking in unity. There are three things that we say, okay, we as parents, if I am walking in what it is to understand the end game, the purpose of this war, the purpose of what it is to raise my children, what does that look like? At the end of the road, at the end of the war, when we look at our kids, they're out of the house, how can we say we have victory? We have victory in this. The end game is taken. This is what victory looks like. A lot of people say, well, my kids, victory for us as parents, my kids are successful. They've got great jobs. They live in a nice house. They drive two cars. Not us. For us, number one, end game victory, number one, is that they love God. That they love God. Folks, please understand. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy 6 says this. Deuteronomy says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today. What words is he commanding us today? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. These words that I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently, with intensity. That's what diligent means. With intensity. You are to teach your children, your sons, with intensity, diligently. That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now look at this. This is how serious this is. You shall teach them with intensity or diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign to your hand and you shall be as forefrontals in the forehead and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Everywhere you turn, over and over and over, you should be speaking to your children. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all of your might. Over and over and over, the first victory that we will have is to know when they leave the house, they are life ready. And a part of that being life ready is that they love God with everything within them, folks. Listen, Jesus totally matches this in Mark 12:31 when they come try to test him. Well, what is the greatest commandment? That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Folks, it is a victory for Renee and I. It is a victory as parents that when our kids leave the home, they are loving the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, with all their strength. That they are surrendered to him in worship, in praise, in thanksgiving, in honoring God, and having a fear of God and reverencing God. That is all encompassed, that our kids, we are doing everything we can to teach them over and over and over about how great God is, the love of God, the creator of the universe. When you see the stars, that is God deserving of praise. When you see the sun and the moon, that is God deserving of praise. When you see the oceans, that is God deserving of praise. Jesus Christ put himself on a cross because of us, that we would come to know him and have a relationship with him. He deserves to be honored and praised, and that we would love him and be passionate about him and care for him. Gang, over and over and over, we talk about this in our home. Because the end game for us is that our kids would love God. Amazing. Amazing. And Carter just told me the story last night. That he's at a friend's house last night. I pick him up at 11 o'clock. And they start talking church. As a group of friends. They start asking questions. Like, what is this thing, a difference between church? And one friend who goes to a different church, a different type of church. He answered the question. He said, well, he says, I'm more traditional. And Carter, he's just more like, I love God. Amen. I'm like, score, man. Hallelujah. Victory. That's huge. I mean, that comes not from Carter. That comes from a friend who knows Carter. That's awesome. Number two, at the end game, is that our kids would hate sin. Number two, they love God. Number one, they would love God. And number two, they would hate sin. When they leave my house, I want them to know and recognize evil and sin. I want them to know and understand. No, that's against God. No, that's against God. No, that's not the way of God. No, that's different from what God said. No, I don't care what the public view is. I don't care what the world view is. Nope, that's opposite of what God says. That our kids will know evil, they'll know sin, and they'll flee from it. That's number two. I want you to see this. Psalm 97 says this. God makes it clear. Hate evil, you who love the Lord. Hate evil. If I'm teaching my children to love God, then I want them to hate evil. Gang, look at Psalm 119, 104. From your precepts or from your word, I get understanding. Now look at this. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. How do you identify a false way? Right here. Because you know truth. When you know truth, it's easy to pick out a false way. When you are so understanding of God's precepts or God's law or God's commandments, when God's way, when you understand his word and you have a knowledge of God's word and you understand it, I want my children to know God's word. I want my children to understand what God says about righteousness and unrighteousness, sin and what God says is what is right. So they know this. When anything false comes up, they can identify it quickly, folks. Why? Because they understand the truth and they'll recognize a false way immediately. Nope, that's evil. Nope, that's sin. Nope, that's wrong. Nope, that's against God. I love it that my children will leave my home and they will know right from wrong. They will know God's word is absolute. They will know God's word is truth. They will know if I walk in that way, if I make a choice to go that direction, it's against God. If they know that, then it's a victory. Look at this last verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and a perverted mouth, I hate. Folks, I hope as godly parents, you are teaching your children about sin and how to hate sin, how to identify sin, how to recognize if there's anything against the word of God, it's sin. You look at public view. My kids know they will always be in the minority. We teach our children, you will always be in the minority. Anywhere you go, job, school, college, whatever, anywhere you're at, almost at any time, except for in church, you go into the grocery store, you're in the minority. You go outside the walls of church, you go outside the walls of your home, chances are you are in the minority. And you have to recognize the majority wants to push a single agenda. The majority wants to push things that are against God. The majority wants to, and you are in the minority. You will always be in the minority. Recognize the fight you're in, but you have to stand for what is right and stand for what is truth because you recognize things are sin because you understand and you hate sin. Folks, if I get that out of my children, end game victory. End game victory, when they can recognize even being in the minority, even when everyone is against them, yet they know how great God is. Who can be against me if God is for me? Because they know his word. Powerful. And the third is this. Oh, Brendan, you can come up, man. Third is this. I said, they would, my children, Carter, Libby, and Ethan, would see a marriage between Ren and I. That is an honorable marriage. Please hear this. I want Carter and Ethan to marry a woman who is just like their mother. That's a huge, huge success. Huge victory if they marry a woman who honors God, who respects and loves her husband, who loves her children, who puts her home priority, puts her kids. Listen, you want to be a parent, it takes sacrifice. You want to be a mom and dad? Listen, we can walk in the very first sin, which was selfishness. As a parent, or we could walk in a selfless nature, as God would have it, to be selfless as parents. I want them to marry a woman who is just like their mother, who is selfless and puts the priority of the kids above her own. Victory. And I so hope to be the dad that there will be one day that Olivia will wait and she will wait and she will wait and she will wait. Till she finds a man who is like her dad. Folks, that's huge for me. That I would walk in a way that Olivia would see a God sense in me as her dad. And she says, I'm not going to settle for anything less. Parenting is not for the weak, folks. Parenting is for the warriors and for the soldiers who become selfless. So I will make my home the priority. I will make my marriage the priority to give that example for what our kids would see. That one day, they will understand what it is to be in a God-honorable relationship where there is life and there is peace. One more verse, please. I just want to get through this. Folks, don't miss next week. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let me just, you don't even have to turn there. Proverbs 22, 6. One of those verses that are misunderstood. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Train up a child. That means to dedicate a child. Now it says, in the way he should go. Even when he is old. How many times have you heard the church use that in a way? Well, if you've raised them upright, no matter where they're at now, they will always come back to the truth. No matter what you've done, they will always return to the truth based on Proverbs 22:6. God said, listen, if you're training them up in the way that he should go, then even when he's old, he will never depart. You hear this over and over and over. And how many times have you seen? Well, I know, look at their kids. Their kids are not walking with God. The parents must have really blew it and screwed up, because the Bible says if they would have trained them up in the way that they should go, they're never going to depart from it. It's not what it says, folks. Train them up. Dedicate them in accordance to their way. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it. In accordance with their way. Please hear that. God expects you and I as parents to know the gifts. Listen, every child, if you have many child, you know there are different gifts and there are different qualities. One is very athletic. One is very smart. One is very artsy. One is, and you begin to identify the gifts that God has given within each of your children. And you begin to recognize this one is gifted this way. God, you've uniquely created this one to be this. God, you have created this one. And it is our responsibility to pay so close attention to the gifts that God has given us that we identify that gift and we recognize the different character traits, the different character manners, that which our children have from God. And God is saying, listen, I've given them to you as a gift, and I'm expecting you to dedicate them, that you would identify the specific character gifts that I've given them, and that you would train them and teach them and dedicate them in that way, in the way that they would go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I love the New American saying, even when they are old. Gang, that doesn't mean they ever have to depart from it. They have gone all the way this far, and even when they're old, they just keep going. That's what that means. There's not a break, folks. There's not a drift. Because you have recognized the gift that God has placed within your child. And you dedicate, and you train, and you discipline in a way that brings that gift to the front. Because each child is different. Folks, when you understand the responsibility as a parent and the gift that God has given you, you begin to know that it is the priority and you put them first. Let's just bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I'm asking that husbands and wives in this place would know, I want my kids to look to us and have the marriage that we have one day. Parents, that's huge. I want our kids to look at us one day. Say, I want to imitate their marriage. I want to imitate how dad treats mom. I want to imitate how mom honors and respects dad. Folks, that you would recognize home is a priority, folks. Home is a priority. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. It takes being selfless, putting yourself down for the sake of the family. God, that we would understand this as husband and wife. God, that we'd recognize the relationship that we have. God, that we'd recognize that these are gifts from you. God, that we would go for the end game. God, we'd go for the victory, that our kids would love you, God. And our kids would hate sin. Our kids would walk in an honorable marriage one day. And God, that you would give us discretion and you would give us discernment. And God, we're begging you for wisdom. God, give us wisdom on how to see the special gifts, how to understand and recognize to get them on that road. To get them on the road, God, that is best used and best served the gift and how you have created them and what you've put in them as we see as parents. God, what a humongous responsibility. And yet, God, that's what you expect from us. That you expect from our homes. Father, help us in this. Folks, I'm asking you, please. What is it in our lives that need rearranged as parents to know and understand that children are priority? They're my responsibility. God, you've given the gift to me. My responsibility to spend the time to value them and honor them. God, that we would get it right. God, that we only have one shot at this. God, we can't do a do-over. God, help me in every single day to get it right. Not going to be perfect, but God, I want to get it right. God, I want to get it right. That would be your heart's cry, folks. That would be your desire to get it right, God-wise. Bible-wise, the way God would have it.
day after day after day after day. Father, I just ask that you bless us as parents. God, I ask that you would bless us as moms and dads. God, I ask that you would bless us as grandparents, God. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Father, thank you for what you're doing. God, protect our children. God, set your angels charge over our children. Father, cover our children in the blood of the Lamb. God, help us to teach and train. Help us to encourage and build over and over and over. Speak life to our kids. Over and over, put them on a path that leads to life. Over and over, remind them that you are God and that you are sovereign and you are in control through the ups and the downs. God, you've ordained every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, as we take this word, change our week. God, change our week as parents to know the gift of our children, to know them, God. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, come on and stand up, please.